Pence. I'm not the senior minister here. If there's folks that are visiting, Alan Jones is our senior minister, but he's gone to a wedding way out in BC this weekend, and so I'll be sharing with you this morning. You know, different people are good at different things. Some people are good at things like design or fashion. They look at colors and patterns and they see how those things go together so that they can look beautiful or impressive or powerful or comfortable. Me, I do well just to look presentable. I'm not very good with colors, never have been. I have had to consult different people throughout my life, whether it's my mom and then my sister, my wife, and the occasional roommate that I had, about what should go together so that I didn't look offensive to sensitive eyes. It's not my thing. Other people are great at athletic or body movement sorts of things. Some people can jump high and run fast and perform accurate shooting or throwing or kicking or hitting functions. And some people just know how to move their bodies in a graceful way so that it fits with music and communicates something that's beautiful or powerful. Now, I enjoy most sports, but I'm not good at any of them, and I don't think anyone's ever accused me of being graceful. It's not my thing. Other people are great with their mechanical things and doing things with their hands. Some people can take things apart and see how they work and put them back together better than they were to begin with. Other people have great skill at making things with their hands, whether it's wood or metal or fabric or craft sorts of things, and they can do beautiful things with it. Me, I'm not very good with my hands. My hands aren't as strong as others, and my hands are unsteady. When I used to work with children in children's church, I can't remember if I've shared this before or not, but my second Sunday in children's church, one of their children raised their hands, and I was excited because I thought maybe they had a question about the Bible story that we had, and so I said, yes, whatever their name was, and they said, why do your hands shake? And it's a hereditary thing, but it makes it a little more difficult and frustrating to do things with your hands that other people seem to be able to do and are very gifted in doing. Other people are great with technological things. They love computers and PDAs and Palm Pilots and the fancy cell phones and all that stuff, and they know technology and they know how the micro units of things of life and how technology can make life more productive and convenient as society continues to progress. Now, I enjoy using the things that I know how to use, but there's probably children sitting among us who know more about how those things work than I do and can do more with a computer and other technological instruments than I do. It's not my thing, I guess. Growing up in college and into seminary days, I was usually best at academics. That was my thing. School came easy to me, just like sports or music or mechanical things come more easily to other people. It made sense to me how math, or how to read and figure out what was most important. I knew how to memorize, I knew how to take tests, and I knew how to write fairly well. So I did really well in school, but one of the drawbacks that I had was that occasionally I would underestimate how long something would take to do a good job on, and I would put it off a little bit too long. And that tendency of mine raised its ugly head when I was in a church history class in seminary. Our teacher was an older gentleman named Dr. Fife, and he had assigned this project that was worth 30% of our semester grade. And I won't bore you with the details of exactly what it was, but I'll just say it was a research paper, a very extensive research paper, and it was supposed to be 20 to 25 type pages. Well, I put it off till about, 7 to 10 days to go, which I had done with other papers before and been fine. But as I started to dig into this, when I realized that the project was going to take much, much longer than I had originally intended, or than I originally thought. And the paper was due on a Thursday, and when class came around on Thursday, I was not even close to being ready to turn the paper in. And I went to class that day, and I watched other people at the very beginning of class, as they're walking in, lay their papers on the desk in front, and just kind of added to the guilt each new paper that came in. I did find out that a couple of other students were in the same boat that I was, and it made me feel a little bit better, but still, I was disappointed in myself, because this is something that I was good at. This is something I could do. It's a strength of mine. And I wasn't going to be able to take advantage of it. Well, Dr. Fife began the class and thanked the students for the work that they'd done on the papers. And he went on with class. And I hadn't told him yet that mine wasn't going to be turned in. And so I tried to listen to him to take my mind off of the mess up that I just had and wondering if I was actually going to pass this class. It was hard to pay attention, though, because an excuse after excuse kind of went through my head. And I knew that they were just that, excuses, not legitimate reasons. And finally, class ended, and I walked up to Dr. Fife along with the other two students who were in the same boat that I was. And I began to speak, and it came out something like this. Dr. Fife, I won't be submitting a paper to you today. I haven't finished it. And I started to go on, and Dr. Fife just stopped me. And he called for the attention of the class, which is a little bit unnerving, as they were getting ready to leave the classroom. But then he wrote a word on the board, and it was a word that I had never seen or heard before. The word was prelapsarian. Now, it's probably a word that the people who study theology came up with, because when I looked at the time, it wasn't in my dictionary, and when I wrote it on my my page, it came up as a typo on my computer program, although it is on dictionary.com. But he wrote this word on the board, and then he told us his understanding of what it meant. And you might be able to figure it out. Pre, obviously, means before. Like a preview is the little snippet of a movie that you get to see before the actual movie comes out. And lapse. A lapse is a failure to continue to do what you know you should do. If you're on a diet and you decide one evening to eat 5 chocolate brownies, then you lapsed in your diet. Well, Dr. Fife used this word to talk about grace. Prelapsarian grace, according to him, is grace or forgiveness, or another chance that someone decides that they're going to give you before you even mess up. So before he knew that the three of us were going to come in with late papers, Dr. Fife had already decided to give an extension. It wasn't because we had good reasons. It wasn't because we had done anything for him. Quite frankly, we'd messed it up and we deserved to have our papers docked or downgraded or maybe not even accepted at all. But before we even asked for his grace, Dr. Fife had decided to give it to us. And the reason that he did was because Dr. Fife believed that that's what God had done for us. Now, I still had to complete my paper. Didn't mean that I got out of the assignment, but I was freed from the consequences of the situation. But even more than that, it allowed me, maybe you might even say it empowered me, to do what I was meant to do and to be what I was meant to be, to develop in the way that God had already designed me with the strength that he'd already given me. And it's because of grace. One of the classic texts about God's grace comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in that book, Paul is asserting his authority, and he's trotting out all of these reasons why he is an apostle, to prove his apostleship in the face of detractors. And he talks of the things that he's done for Christ and of the privileges that has been given to him, but his final piece of evidence actually goes in the opposite direction. Beginning in verse 7, he writes this. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I'm going to invite the folks who have prepared testimonies for us this morning to come forward. See, God's grace is manifested by his power when we've been weak. God's grace is seen, I think, in the empowering difference that Jesus makes in the lives of people. See, when we think about grace, we normally think about forgiveness, right? About the freedom aspect. But grace also empowers us to be what he meant for us to be. Living in God's grace moves us towards the fulfillment in life that God desires to come in relationship with him. And so this morning, we're just going to share some testimonies about God's grace in our lives. And I'm going to begin. By the grace of God, I'm moving from a life of burden to a life of purpose. A number of years ago, I lived life like I had a huge burden on my shoulders. I was burdened by the need to get it right, burdened by the need to feel like I should please everyone. But what it did was made me consumed with myself, and that steals your joy, steals your purpose. But then, even though I'd been walking with Christ for a while since I was young, I experienced Christ or came to an understanding of Christ in a different way, a way that I hadn't before, in people that I saw serving God with a joy and a peace and a purpose that was beyond them. And what I realized is that God is bigger than my burdens, and that he really does care, that he is really active in life, and now I'm able to live in peace knowing that it's not just up to me. It's what God has done and continues to do in our lives, and it fills me with joy and hope and purpose. I invite Christina to share some.
Christina Wood, for those of you who don't know me. And for me, by the grace of God, I'm learning to move from being self-dependent to learning to trust in the Lord. Over the last 11 years of me being a Christian, there's been many mountains and valleys, and the mountains seem so hard, and often not until I was at the very end of my rope is when I would remember to ask God for help. And the valleys are like a resting place, only I need to remember to rest in him and not get so busy and end up climbing more mountains. His grace is sufficient.
Hello, my name is Marcel. And by the grace of God, I am moving from a place of fear to a place of confidence. Fear of my own death to a place of confidence, not confidence in myself, but confidence in Christ. I've been a Christian for a long time, and for a long time I've feared my own death, feared dying. Philippians 1:21, Paul says, "But for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If death is gain, why did I fear it? I feared it because I lacked confidence in the power of Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. Ask me why I got this tattoo sometime. And then, of course, there's the fear of the actual act of dying. That moment when you move from life to death. If you're brave, ask me sometime about a dream I had a couple of months ago. For I now understand that moment when we die not as moving from being alive to being dead, but rather as being alive to coming alive. And by the grace of God, I have confidence in Christ and Christ resurrected.
My name is Betty Estale, and this is 80 years and 5 minutes. When we open God's Word, at the very beginning we read of God's plan of creation. First, the earth was empty, formless, and dark, and the Spirit of God hovered over it. Then God said, "Let there be light." And then there was separation of the light and the darkness, giving us night and day. And this began a process, not everything at once, but a progression of events that God, looking over all that he had made, saw it was excellent in every way. So it was with man and woman. Adam and Eve and their family were not suddenly all in the Garden of Eden, but they were a progression of events that was miraculously prepared. How can we not believe what a miracle birth is as we are knit together in the womb, a process that brings new life? And so it was with my story of my birth and journey in life. He knew I would be before I was. My beginnings were very ordinary, growing up in a family setting. I had love and care. I was prepared as a child about my spiritual needs and God's love and Jesus giving his life for my sins. Again, a process of learning and prayer over me and the process of events that shaped me which included war, separation from family, death of my father, being thrust into the working world at an early age, marriage and the love of my husband and children, my baptism, life in the church. Was I fully aware or recognizant of this Holy Spirit's work and the graciousness of God? Not always, and not very well. But looking back, I knew he was there, saving me from myself often, from my rebelliousness. I don't know if there are meetings in heaven about his children, but I am sure God knew my sanctification was going to take time, even a long time. Staying close to the Lord was a bit of a roller coaster. Made me letting. I was getting the busyness of life in the way of taking time with Him, but the Holy Spirit always seemed to be drawing me back. The grace of the Holy Spirit. The last few years, as the process of aging marches on, I am very aware of the blessings and the grace of God, the gift of my husband's love, of my children and their kindness and help to me, of a gift of healing from sickness, health and strength, by the grace of God, so many blessings, the privilege of serving him within the Church of Christ here, in the fellowship here. I've had my share of bloopers, but people were very kind, and with my peers who served alongside, we have happy memories. God's word gives us an anchor. He says he will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. This has been a particular comfort to me in these past few months. Of course, this process is not without tears shed. Pain, regret, sinfulness. The Lord sees those. King David wrote in Psalm 56, "You have kept count of my tossing and turning. Put thou my tears in your bottle. Are they not written in your book?" I pray I will finish well. I thank my Lord for the grace he has given to me, and I am thankful to all, grateful to all who have helped me in my journey. May I finish with this little verse. Of my 70 years, all are gone, I've reached the end. No more decades, in their place are portions only of God's grace.